Welcome to Honey, We Need to Chat.
ASMR version.
ASMR version.
ASMR. Babe, what are you doing right now?
I'm doing this for you.
You've blown my mind. Thank you.
I can hear it in my headphones and I'm making myself cringe. I don't like it.
Well, I really appreciate this. Anyone who really doesn't like ASMR has already turned the episode off. Welcome.
Welcome to Honey, We Need to Chat.
That was unexpected for me.
Gotcha.
Thank you.
Got you real good.
You did. I'll listen back to that later when I'm going to sleep. Anyway, welcome back to a new episode. Thank you for being here.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Mm. Thank you very much for being here. Today is a Reddit chat.
It is.
We're going to be going through a topic that you know that I will find out.
Yeah.
But before we get into that, you put a story out today.
Yes.
On the socials. Tell me about that. What was the story about?
It was a challenge for those that struggle to get out for date nights, struggle to have quality time together. It was a challenge to think outside the box a little bit and maybe just make it happen at home. So something we did a lot in COVID and just since being parents, but it kind of kicked off in COVID, was at home date nights where we would set up the lounge room, like we'd clean it up, make it a nice space. It was calming, set up a table in front of the TV and we would search restaurant background scene.
I genuinely crave this.
Genuinely, it sounds so, so corny. And even when I made the story today, I was like, people are going to laugh. But it actually is super transformative to the space.
Yeah.
And it made it possible for us to be getting out. I'm doing bunny ears.
Quotations.
Out when we weren't able to get out. And it also meant that instead of us, you know, just sitting on the couch and watching our show that we've been watching for the last 6 weeks straight or something like that, we were having special, different kind of quality time together. Really, really good.
And I think the thing is it breaks the norm. So
yeah, exactly.
When you sit down, the first time we did it, it was a little bit awkward.
Yeah.
You sit down, we're all dressed up. We've got this fake restaurant in the background, nice music. But after a while, it really helps to switch your brain from, okay, yes, we're not at a proper restaurant, but it switches my brain from, okay, we've just put the kids down. We've just gone through the routines. We've just gone through all of that to
the normal.
Okay. I'm sitting down with Amy.
This is different.
This is different. Yeah. And our conversations are different.
Yeah.
It helps me get into that state of conversation or whatever you want to call it. It was really good.
Yeah.
So you shared that today.
Yeah. I put the challenge out there. Just randomly was thinking about it and we had really good feedback.
I love it. Yeah. Guys, seriously, I love the feedback we get. We got some feedback just before we sat down tonight, actually. What was that?
One of our friends messaged in and just showed us, she had taken a photo of their setup, which was slightly different. They do kind of the opposite where they set up a nice, like, they set up a mattress in the lounge room and they have like a sleepover out in the lounge room together, which is really cool. And just said how they enjoy doing the same thing and how interesting the story was, the challenge was. And also just in the challenge that I put out there, I said, use some of the prompts that we've even used on the podcast as conversation starters. Because sometimes you get to a date night, even when you're going out of the house and you just sit there and all you can talk about is your kids or all you can talk about is finances. Or like me, you're just in a bit of a daze for a couple hours.
Yeah.
And so having like a prompt to encourage deeper conversation or conversation you might not think of your own is really helpful. So I said, you know, look up the would you rathers for couples. There's so many. We use them on the podcast all the time. Look up 100 questions you'd ask your spouse. Look up the 5 love languages. Do the trend that we did the other week of the things you might not know about us with the social media is fake challenge. All those sorts of things, just kind of to think outside of the box. And yeah, she was saying that that's really helpful as well for them in the stage that they're in. So yeah, it was cool. And a couple other people messaged in saying they're going to try it. They hadn't thought of it before. It's such a simple thing. And I think one of the parts of the heart behind me sharing it is that it's very easy to just be stuck in this thought that we can't get out.
Yeah,
we can't go on a date night, especially when you're a parent and getting babysitter logistically is really difficult, or you're both working way too hard and you don't have time, don't have finances, whatever it might be. We can't get out. You just get stuck there. But the reality is you almost always have an opportunity to switch things up and have quality time. And if you can just think outside of the box a little bit, you can actually have that time. It might not look the way you'd ideally have it, but you can still have that time without having to make it big, this big lavish event sort of thing.
And it does take effort and it does take intentionality. Yeah. You know, and sometimes, and we recognize that is hard, but we do also recognize the importance of having that 100% quality time together and putting that investment and intentionality into it for sure.
Yeah.
So two things as well. So we're actually going to be sending out some questions as well, some conversation starters for our people that have signed up to our email list. So go to our website, honeymoonintochat.com, and sign up to our email list there. But also I want to ask you guys to send us your conversation starters. What are conversations that you guys do? So Amy has some great ones that she'll bring up on our anniversary or a birthday or a special occasion that she'll go through, and we'll discuss those in the future. Mm-hmm. But if you guys have some, send some through to us as well, because we want to add that to our toolkit. That'd be great.
And share them with the community.
Yeah, the peeps.
Cool. Well,
hit us with your Reddit stuff.
So this theme, we've all heard the saying, it's not what you said, it's how you said it. And that's essentially what this theme is. However, I just want to change it slightly because sometimes it is what they said.
Yeah.
Sometimes it is what you've said.
Yeah, it's what you said and how you said it.
And how you said it. So my spin on it is, it's not what you meant, it's how it was said. A little bit different. Because inside you might not have meant it to be that way, what you said and how it was said. Not so great.
Mm-hmm.
That's the theme of our stories.
And relatable.
For some of us.
Children.
It's relatable for everyone, but for some of us more than others.
We're cool. Working on with Amy.
All right. Oh, wait, you need to start us.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to drink. Mm-hmm. I already raised my cup to my mouth and I'm just like, I can't stop now.
Yeah.
I have to complete this journey of cup to mouth. All right. Over to the chit chat jar. The perfectly decorated.
Shake it up.
Chit chat jar.
Perfectly what?
Decorated.
Oh.
Okay. So this question is, what's a goal you have for us for the next 5 years?
In what capacity?
All of the capacities.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, just what's a goal? Like, as your choice, like, what's a goal that you have for us? Let's keep it relationally. Right. For our relationship in the next 5 years.
I think continuing or maybe getting back to building our relationship, because it hasn't been on hold, obviously. Because that's not a healthy thing to do. But there, because we've been having kids for the last 7 or 8 years, it's kind of been, there's elements of it that we haven't really been able to super invest in. And I feel like now that we've got all of our children, one goal is just to not have another child.
That's a goal. that's a goal. Good goal. Not to
in
have
the
a
best
child
way
in
possible. And obviously,
years.
Would love the child if it was to come, but let's aim for that not to be the case.
let's aim for it. Us not to love another child.
Let's aim for us to love really well the children that we have. Anyway, and on top of that, instead, finally having some intentional time to build some of the things that we haven't been able to maybe put much effort into, including our quality time.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing, because our kids are moving into school age and that's just totally changing the season that we're in. Our emotional and physical intimacy, that's another thing that I want to kind of invest back into, where it's kind of been drained in a lot of ways over the past season. That would be a goal.
Mm-hmm.
What about you?
So we're going to New Zealand for this counseling session. For us, my goal for us in the next 5 years is that in 5 years, we have things that we do every year.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like at the moment, we're exploring things for us to be doing, to be investing in. So it's kind of that discovery stage. So in 5 years, I would love us to be, that's actually part of our relationship, is our investment and intentionality for our growth in our relationship.
Yeah.
It's like, cool. All right, we might not go to New Zealand this year, but this is the thing that we do.
Yeah.
And it's
a standing appointment almost.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's not this would be nice to do. It's like, no, this is a must, because we've seen that when we give something room to fester, or if we've haven't been intentional in some area or let something slide, it grows and it grows yucky.
Mm.
So that's where it's like, well, if you know, whatever it is, whatever we decide to do, it's making sure that we're not allowing
we're not letting
fester.
Things fester.
Yeah,
we're not giving them, we're not hiding them away for so long that they can grow.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're just airing them out, airing our dirty laundry.
Airing
to the
dirty jokes.
Cool. Good question. Is that it?
That's it. We're just doing one.
Oh, okay.
Did we do two last time? Let's do two. Let's do another one. Let's just get it out.
So much weighing on one question's response if we only do the one. Oh, my gosh.
What's the most valuable lesson you've learned from our past argument?
These questions are so big.
I'm so wise.
This is not your would you rather anymore. This is...
No, these are the stuff.
What is the most valuable lesson I've learned from past argument? Not to turn it malicious or critical, like as in not to make the argument an attack on you or on whoever I'm attacking, attack on the person's value.
Mm-hmm.
You?
For me is, it's, I think we've covered it in a past episode, but take a deep breath and don't react to my side. Like, don't be like, and really push that. I've got to defend myself. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. It's really to take that breath and try and listen to what is actually the issue.
Yeah.
Because like we were going to be talking about tonight, and again, I don't know what these actual scenarios are, but for ours, it's been, well, you know, you're saying this thing and you're saying it this way, but what are you actually meaning?
Yeah.
You know, where is this coming from? So what's the behind the things to help me to address that in a calmer place?
Yeah.
Calmer way.
I think to sum that up, really good point. The argument is often not just the argument.
No.
There's almost always stuff going on underneath.
Mm.
So what's that? That's the more important issue than the surface level argument most of the time.
Unless the argument's obvious, like, don't do that. Okay, I won't do that.
And that's that.
Honey, we need to chat.
We need to chat. All right, so let's dive into some of these. It's not what you meant. It's everything about how it was said.
It's getting longer.
Yeah, I know. All right, first story. Boyfriend said, I have no opinions. My boyfriend, 21 male, and I, 21 female, have been together for over a year now. We hardly ever argue, though sometimes I find it challenging to get him to open up about his feelings. Overall, we have a good relationship and I care about him a lot. Whenever we hang out, he always asks what I want to do, and I usually respond with a casual, I don't know, I'm fine with whatever. That's just me being a chill person, or so I thought. Last night, we were chilling at his place and he throws out the classic question, what do you want to do? I said, I don't know, play Hogwarts Legacy maybe, but we can watch something if you want. His response seemed a bit annoyed as he asked, well, do you want to play Hogwarts Legacy? I shrugged and said, sure, sounds good. Then he came back with, but what do you actually want to do? To which I told him, I'm really okay with whatever. He then went on to say that I'm very indecisive, which he's correct about. I responded by saying he always asks me what I want to do, but he never knows what he wants to do either. He then said, when I ask you what you want to do, it's not because I don't know what I want to do, it's because I want you to decide. Then he said something along the lines of, I have opinions, which is something you never seem to have. His words stung more than I expected. It felt like he was saying I didn't have a mind of my own. We didn't talk much after that, and I couldn't shake how it made me feel. Since we rarely fight, I was worried that this is truly how he feels about me. Eventually, I let it slide, but I'm unsure how to address it without causing more tension. Did I overreact? And then this person did an edit to add at the end after reading some of the comments. After reflecting on responses, I realize my habit of avoiding decisions has caused tension in our relationship. I've always been in relationships with controlling people that I let make decisions to avoid conflict, but my boyfriend isn't like that. I also struggle with anxiety, which might contribute to my fear of making the wrong choice. I'm going to talk to him and let him know that although his comment hurt me, I'm ready to take more initiative in making decisions. It's time to work on this together.
Well done.
I know. I thought it was such a well-rounded story.
Oh, complete.
They finished it.
Yeah.
But the conversation behind this is obviously he's come out and said, I have opinions. You never have opinions, which is not like a massive stab, but it obviously hurt her. It made her feel a bit like maybe he doesn't think she's someone who has a mind of her own. She just floats along. I've actually had almost this exact conversation, not in a hurtful way.
Like with me or?
No, with one of my previous partners.
Who is he?
It was very well done, but it was I was very, very young when we were dating, and I genuinely, as I've mentioned on the podcast before, kind of didn't feel like I was awake to myself. It sounds so bizarre, but you know what I mean? And so I was so scared to be offensive or to like to be wrong on something or to like say something. So I was just always like, whatever, whatever. And then one time he sat me down and he's like, you can actually disagree with me or say what you actually think about something sometimes. And I was like, okay. Which is not an offensive thing at all, no. But it just was confronting. So I was thinking with these conversations, it's not what they meant. It's how they said it.
Mm.
So maybe we could talk about how we might reword this in that situation to address the same issue, but in a way that wouldn't hurt.
I think with this scenario too, though, it's so much broader than just like boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife stuff. Mm. This is, I think through this, I'm like, man, I do this with my team members, yeah. Right? I can be very blunt. Yeah. I can just say things and not think about how they're received, or especially if I'm in a bad mood or I'm tired, yeah. Or whatever else, I can just speak. And that's something that I'm still trying to work on. So this is so much broader than just intimate relationships.
Mm, absolutely. And a lot of the stories I was looking through were actually not romantic relationships. I've picked the romantic ones just because it's more in our tone. But yeah, a lot of people were submitting stories that were different kind of platonic relationships or family members.
Mm. I think first off, I think it's just awesome that she has identified in herself. And I think nearly every story that we've spoken about has brought in from my previous relationships, mm-hmm. and this happened, that happened, you know, and I feel like that's a lot of the case for a lot of the things. Even our most recent arguments have been kind of external factors
playing into it.
Yeah, so again, it's more than just what the conversation is. It's like, all right, well, what's feeding into this? Mm. So that's really cool. That's really cool that she's identified that and that she's going to actually go back to him, say that this hurt me, like, and address that. Like, that's important to say, you know, it did hurt me. I did overreact, but that did hurt me. And this is what I think, and helping him to understand why you do those things, I think is really, really good.
Yeah, huge.
From the start, I've definitely struggled with this. You know, I've definitely struggled with being blunt to you, mm-hmm. and just not understanding things. And especially if we're tired or frustrated already or whatever else, you can just get snappy. And I feel like this is kind of more on the minor side to some of the things that we've discussed, but it still is impactful. Mm. And I think one big thing that we really spoke about was, what's the desired outcome here?
Mm-hmm.
You know, a desired outcome isn't that now I get my point across and you can never make a decision. It's that, all right, you might for some reason be struggling with this thing, and my desired outcome would genuinely be, in a perfect world, my desired outcome would be that you feel supported by me to overcome a struggle that you might have.
Yeah.
Like that's the perfect outcome. And so I think with the way that he's spoken about it, that's not communicated. It's just, just do better, right? We've really tried to work on the team elements of the struggle.
Mm.
So to have team in mind, one thing he could have said was, approach the situation by asking her, you know, I feel like I've noticed that you've struggled to make decisions. You know, I'll put out some of these things and just wanted to see, like, do you find it hard to make these decisions? Rather than accusing, because one, she's going to go on defense like I would and I do. Go straight onto a defense mode. And the other way is more like open question. Mm. Like, do you think, and it helps her reflect then. My brother's done really well with me in this space, right? So I can tell he's got a different thought yeah. in mind, but he will ask, he won't come at me as like, oh, you struggle with this thing. You know, you do it this way or whatever else. And he used to, but as we've got older, he's changed his approach to being like, do you think you struggle with this? Do you think that maybe, you know, just putting things out there, not in a patronizing way, seems like a genuine question. Mm. And what that does is disarms my pride. And it actually, I can't really put my walls up. Well, I can, but it's a lot harder to put my walls up because it's like, oh, maybe, you know, I don't know.
It makes you think.
Absolutely. So rather than if you just came at me and said, you're doing this, this, and this, I'm going to be like, what? Like put your dukes up. We're going to argue about this. But when it's just a genuine question out of support, I don't know. Like, I do you find that you struggle with making decisions? Like, I've just asked a few things. I'm just wondering, like, is that something that you find hard, or are you genuinely happy with me just making the decisions or something? Mm-hmm. And going about that way, I feel like, is a more disarming mm-hmm. way of asking.
Yeah. Just curiosity. I think we've spoken about that, having an attitude of curiosity. Like, why do you not? What is going on for you here? Not because I'm annoyed, but just because I'm curious. The other element of it is that she mentions in the story that he doesn't much say what he's thinking. Like, he doesn't really go into that. And so for him to all of a sudden come out, and it's just a classic story. Like, you would hear this kind of thing all the time. All of a sudden it comes out because they've been holding it in. For that to be the first sort of thing that he's confronted as well would be adding even more kind of shock to how she's taking it. But I think the next step in this conversation would also be to say, I need you to let me know earlier than this when you're getting irritated, like working on what's going on for him as well and absolutely. Why he doesn't share more often. And, you know, she said she has been around controlling people in relationships, which is huge for her to recognize, really, really helpful. And he's not that way. So I wonder what's happened for him in his past as well. Not that he should be controlling, but as in, is there something that makes him not want to address the things, not really want to open up? And maybe they can explore that as well. But I feel like this is a really, it's ended really healthy, in a healthy way.
And, see, this is the beginning of their conversation. Yeah. Though, you know, it's not saying that you won't say things in a wrong way. You will, because we just react in certain things. Again, are we tired? Are we already cranky from the day that we've had at work or through another relationship, whatever? And so what this is just like, I love this because she's addressed her, what things have could have fed into that, but she's going back and they're going to start the conversation and that's going to be cool. Let's I don't think we've ever started like a journey on one of our things where we're like, hey, let's do this perfect. You know, it's always been out of an argument or something and we do it in a wrong way. And then we've identified like, actually, this is a sore point for us. And then we can work through it.
Yeah. Because the things that aren't sore points, you don't notice.
Exactly.
They just happen naturally.
Yeah.
It's only the sore points that are going to be things you have to address intentionally. Yeah. The other stuff will just be kind of second nature. Cool. Well, that was an easy one to ease in.
It was nice.
Okay. Second story. How to cheer my girlfriend, 23 female, when I accidentally said something bad that I don't even remember, 22 male.
Classic.
Throughout my life, I've never really had a girlfriend or a close female friend until I met my current girlfriend, who I've been dating for about a year now. We've had our fair share of arguments, but as we've gotten to know each other better, those fights have become few and far between. One thing I've learned about her is that she's not a fan of people speaking without thinking about the consequences, a trait that I definitely have. I've been working on watching what I say, and for the most part, it's been going okay. But as luck would have it, a little slip-up recently caused a lot of trouble. So apparently, during a conversation, I said something like, going out with you gets kind of boring. I don't even remember saying it or what the context was, but she sure does, and it's been stuck in her head ever since. We tried to hash it out, but it was just awkward silence. Honestly, I didn't mean to upset her, and the fact that I can't even remember saying it makes it even worse. I just don't know what to say to make things right. Finally, I mustered up the courage to ask her if she was okay, and that's when the argument started. She accused me of not knowing how to comfort a girl in situations like this, and I have to admit she has a point. It's tough trying to reassure her when I'm the one who's messed up in the first place. What should I do?
I think that's good either way that he's recognized that he's messed up. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that is a good thing. I think that can be hard for individuals, guys or girls. I think that can be a hard thing is when you admit and recognize that you've done it. And it's cool that he's trying to do stuff to do better at it. Have I ever done this?
Said something.
Not this specific thing, but in terms of, I'm trying to think through, has there ever been a scenario where I've said something but didn't realize I said it?
Is it ringing a bell or something?
Kind of, but it's so vague. I couldn't even picture it.
Look, probably, babe, and now I'm angry at you for it.
Well, no, definitely the things that you do get angry at me about, which I don't remember because I wasn't even there, the dreams you have about me.
In my dream.
And I've done 100%. Something and then you wake up.
Maybe that's what this is. Maybe she had a dream.
Yeah, and exactly.
He's like, I don't remember. But I wouldn't remember, so who knows? He's just taking it.
Well done. I don't know. I think again, it's just part of the journey. You know, he's said something silly. He's recognized that he said it. I feel that it's a bit of a maybe trust broken. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Again, it's safety. It's really down to safety. If you don't feel safe with someone, it's hard to trust that space. Mm-hmm. So in her mind, it's probably like, well, if we go out now, I'm going to be boring, yeah. You know, all that sort of stuff. So it's not just a matter of having a conversation. It's actually building that trust back up again. So be intentional with going out to do stuff. And it's kind of on him now to make it fun.
Yeah.
You know, how is he going to make that fun and help her
feel fun?
Feel fun. Well, yeah, feel fun and feel safe and feel like, oh, no, this is something we're doing, you know, it's a togetherness thing.
Yeah. I think there's two parts to this conversation. One is what he said and how he could have said it better.
Mm-hmm.
Two is how then you work on building that back when you've said something that is a broad comment on someone's impact on your presence.
Mm.
And I think pointing out that he's 22 is huge because he is in that age bracket where you are coming out of being a kid into an adult and you're going to learn these hard lessons of being like, oh, I need to be accountable for what I say or accountable for someone else's feelings. And it's great that he's actually learning that, even though it's going to be a painful process. Because the thing that he says, apparently, allegedly, is going out with you kind of gets boring. And I actually read a few of the comments on this post because I was curious what people were saying. And some people were saying, I wonder if either you are just really bad at saying things without thinking about the consequences so much so that you don't even remember saying it, and or she's someone who reads into things that aren't necessarily said, but that she kind of fills in the gaps because of her, how sensitive she is to this sort of information. So I thought that was an interesting point. If he doesn't remember saying it, potentially she's built that story a little bit by other things he said, or, I mean, he could just genuinely not remember saying it. But the other thing too is if he doesn't remember saying it, that's one thing. So you say, oh, I don't remember saying that. Then you have to be addressing that. Is it true though? Because if he's just like, I don't remember saying that, and he focuses on, I don't remember saying that. No, I don't think I said that. Instead of being like, you aren't boring to be with. Like, yeah, just address head on that message that she now has in her head. I think that's a good place to start. Sort of like what you said, working on showing her that she's fun, working on building that trust back a bit. Working on addressing that, like, sorry if I gave you the impression that you're boring. I don't think you're boring. Maybe sometimes what we've done isn't super stimulating, or maybe there's funner things we could do. Maybe we could mix things up so that it's a bit more exciting. But focusing on, you aren't boring. I love you. This is why I enjoy our time together. Let's make that safe and intentional, I think, is a good step. If, for the exercise of the process, if you were like, going out with you gets really boring, and we've had this kind of conversation.
I've got it. I remember.
You remember what it is?
It wasn't that I've said that you're boring. Mm-hmm. It's that I don't laugh at your reels.
Oh, I know that one.
Yeah. Think that's what I had in my mind, because I'm trying to think through, okay, what's the scenario that we've had that is most similar to this? Because this was actually a real thing for us.
Yeah.
Because you felt like I didn't think you were funny, and humor is a big value of yours, right? And I still don't find a lot of your reels funny. There's
when
some
you say
that
my
I
reels,
do,
you mean the ones I'm sharing with
the one,
you?
The ones that you're
not
sharing with me.
Not the ones I
me.
Make.
The ones you make are the best.
They're so funny.
They're so funny. So there's some that I still don't find funny. A lot I still don't find funny. There's a lot that I send you that you don't find funny. So back at you.
Very true.
But this is the closest scenario that we've got. This for you was because humor is a high value for you. For me, it was like, I feel like this is probably when we first started talking about this, we were kind of in not necessarily friend zone, but tired zone.
Mm-hmm.
So we hadn't had many date nights. We hadn't been investing in our relationship much. So the humor it was either really sarcastic or it wasn't really there.
Mm-hmm.
And this was, I guess, your attempt to bring humor into our relationship or keep it alive. This is me reading between the lines.
Yeah.
And and helping us have that in our relationship, right? So for you, high value, not really happening in our relationship. This is your attempt to bring it into our relationship. I'm not finding it funny. it's hard for you. It hurts you. I feel like we have a lot of fun now. I feel like we laugh at each other a lot more. I don't laugh at your reels, but I don't feel like they've been as much of an issue because there's humor in our relationship.
And because I stopped sending them to you and you stopped watching them.
That's true.
Let's just point out
this is a good question. Do you feel that I don't find you funny now?
I don't think you don't find me funny. The real thing was slightly different because it was, oh, this made me laugh. Hmm. I'm showing you this thing that made me laugh. And then you would watch it and you'd make me feel a bit stupid for it. So your reaction was a bit like, okay. And that made me be like, all right, whatever. Like, it made me laugh. Yeah. And so it wasn't that I thought you didn't think I was funny. It was that you weren't putting any effort into engaging in what I found interesting.
Mm.
Whereas if you send me reels, I don't always find them funny. In fact, I often don't, but I'll do the fake laugh, which we've talked about this a lot in our relationship. I'll be like, and that annoys you because then you're like,
it's not real.
Yeah. So it's just two different values, I guess, or different like mismatch in values, because to me, I would rather you feel, even if I don't actually get it or I don't find you funny, I'd rather you feel like I'm encouraging in that space or I'm engaging with what you were showing me.
Yeah.
But you are like, I'm not going to pretend that I find something funny that I don't find funny.
Yeah.
And so the more problem for me was that your reaction in that moment was made me feel like you thought I was stupid, or I felt stupid for sharing the thing with you that you didn't engage with.
Yeah.
So that was a better way of, that was more the core of what was going on for me.
Yeah. So this is obviously still a thing that we're dealing with. And this is one of the minor things, but it's still definitely something we're working on. So there's two points for this. One, and I'm not sure if this is a guy thing or just solely a me thing.
Mm.
One, I know that I would make jokes about it at your expense because I'm trying to be funny, but it's not really funny. I don't know why, but I know other guys do. It's like we do dumb humor that isn't funny, but we're trying to be funny, but it's not funny. And it's just
like dad jokes kind of vibe.
Kind of, but dad jokes still have that bit of humor to it.
Mm.
You know what I mean? But I can go to a jokey point for some reason. It's like, it's not funny. It's actually just annoying, or it's not acknowledging the other person. So this is a perfect example. You sent me a reel, I'm like, why'd you send that to me? Mm. But I'm genuinely kind of trying to make a joke about it. Like, I mean, this is silly, but it's making you feel silly. And that's not my intention.
Yeah.
The other part too is, and I think you understand this one more, I just don't get it. I don't understand. And this is the hard part of where I'm like, I want to find it funny. I just don't understand what I'm watching. I don't know.
Yeah.
Where do I laugh? And I'll laugh at the beginning and you're like, no, yeah. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wait, I just don't get it. I think you're the funniest person I know. Like, I genuinely mean vows. That. Yeah.
He said it in our vows and that one clip got put into our like wedding trailer. We should share the wedding trailer.
Yeah.
The wedding trailer that we got made. That was a highlighted clip, and I was like, that is going down in history because that was the first time you said that.
Yeah.
I've held on to it.
Yeah. One of our kids woke up and I don't remember what I was saying, but
it's gonna be good.
It's gonna be really good.
Oh, you were saying how you think I'm the funniest person.
Moving on.
Okay, we really are just going to move on.
I don't remember what I was saying.
Guys, we have an exciting update. What's our exciting update?
Patreon!
And Spotify subscription.
Spotify sub!
We have some really great quality, raw, extra content that we are going to be posting on our Patreon and our Spotify subscription. So if you are interested in a little bit more from our episodes, if you get to the end and you're like, I want one more story, now you know.
Join in.
It's also going to be a place where we will be updating, sending resources, and just keeping our little community growing and extending there. So if you're interested at all, please check it out. We will post about how to sign up. If you have any questions, let us know. Get onto the Patreon. Get onto the Spotify subscription.
Yeah.
Thank you. All right. Well, let's move on to the next story then, since we've got no idea where we're at. I, 29 male, am torn up by something my wife, 36 female, said. I need some perspective because I did not expect to be so bothered by this comment. Last night, my wife and I were watching TV. After the show ended, we were chatting about something and I made the comment that I am the best husband ever to her. Her response was, but you aren't the best husband to me. Thinking she was joking, I said, okay, who is the best? To which she quickly answered with the name of one of her friend's husbands. I was taken aback, confused, and hurt. I pointed out that she doesn't actually know how their relationship is. She only knows what her friend tells her about it, and that will never be the full picture. She disagreed, and we moved on and decided to put on a movie. I tried to drop it, but I couldn't. I stopped watching the movie a few minutes in and went to bed. Now, a day later, I feel more hurt by her comment. This morning, she dismissed my hurt by saying that I can't possibly believe she is the best wife to me. I understand that in reality, it is not possible for everyone to have the best husband or the best wife, but I believe that they should certainly think that about their own spouse. I believe my wife is the best wife ever. If I didn't, I wouldn't be with her, as I don't believe in settling for anything but the best, which I think is an interesting comment too. In my mind, the fact that she not only doesn't think I'm the best, but also has given thought to who she does consider the best husband is hurtful. Now I'm questioning why she is with me if she thinks better is out there. I still think I'm overreacting, but I can't seem to shake the thought and move past it. Please let me know your thoughts on the matter.
I would struggle a lot if you said that. Yep. I would, like, and I think he said it, what I would feel. I would struggle to think that you thought that better was out there. Mm. It would, again, it's just trust or safety. I wouldn't feel safe. Yeah.
I think, again, this is, it's not what she was meaning. It's what she said and how she said it.
Mm.
I don't think she means, well, who knows? I have no idea what she means. In my heart, I have to believe that she doesn't mean, oh, I don't actually like you. I want this other guy. What I actually think maybe is going on for her is there's stuff that she's not addressing with him that she's bothered by. And sure, she's probably put thought into this husband doesn't do this, or this husband does this for his wife. And my friend tells me about it all the time. And my husband is not doing these things that I need. And instead of addressing those, or maybe she hasn't, he's just totally oblivious to it. She's seen an opportunity to like
slip it in.
Yeah. Slip it in there. That, oh, you're not the best husband. This is the best husband. And then not really thought about or not really cared how that might make him feel or what the consequences of that might be or what might play out in his head after that.
It's like her intentions are, hey, this is a good role model for you. Maybe you can learn a thing or two. Yeah.
And know that I'm not happy.
Yeah, but I feel like she's just butchered.
She's done delivery. It in a very unconstructive way.
Mm.
I was thinking it's sort of similar to the question of like, am I the most beautiful woman in the world?
Yeah.
Like, I know that I am not the most beautiful woman in the world. I know that you don't even believe I'm the most beautiful woman in the world. And that is okay. If we're looking at it from a neutral perspective, no one, you're not going to be like, Amy is the most beautiful woman in the world. I know that I'm the most special person to you. I don't know that you're attracted to me and that you're not you're attracted to me as an isolated individual. Are you trying to tell me?
Yeah, I would disagree with what you're saying.
Am I the most beautiful woman in the world?
Because, but you're talking about, that's the thing is beauty is way more than beauty in a person is so much wrapped up in that.
100%.
And there's actually no one more beautiful than you, like genuinely, because there's so much in that. And I want to say that because if you don't feel that from me, that's a big concern of mine. Like you are the most beautiful person to me because you're the mother of my children. You are my wife. You are my best friend. I think you're gorgeous. Like all of these things that's beauty. It's not anything else. So I can't just let you say that and move on because that's not true.
Yeah.
You know?
Thank you.
The end.
Yeah. I didn't feel like you didn't think I was that special person to you, just to clarify. I very much appreciate that moment and I will be making that into a reel so everyone can see it. See, I'm funny. Anyway, what I mean is, I don't know if the word subjective is right, but the you know, Vogue's most beautiful woman kind of thing, that kind of person, I don't want to say attractive because I think attraction is kind of encompassing what you've just said, where you're attracted to so much of what somebody is It's not just how they look. So if someone says, I'm pretty attracted to them, I actually think that's incredibly inappropriate because that means you're spending time being drawn to that person by multiple factors. It's not just, oh yeah, physically I can see that they are a beautiful person. That's like, oh, I am attracted to them. I feel like some people say that as like a throwaway comment and I just think that's big red flag. That's more red flags to me than if you were to say that person is beautiful or that even that person's hot. Like attraction's like different. So anyway, just to say, but I think attraction's different, but in terms of like physical beauty, I know I'm not the most beautiful person in the world. I don't claim to be. I'm just gonna move past the beautiful moment that you just had there. And I know that you know that physically, looking at my body and my face and who I am, if you were to line me up in a line of people, I would not be subjectively, or whatever the word is, the most beautiful person there to the whole world, let's just say.
So let's say that because I'm still disagreeing with some of the stuff you're saying because, again, that's what the world would measure as, right? If we took the world view, that's that. I don't want to be put into that worldview.
No, I know that.
Yeah.
That's really the whole point of me going down this rabbit trail is to say, I know that the two people that are paired together, no matter how much they love each other, are also never going to be the perfect person. I think there's no one I'd rather be with. So in terms of like what perfect means, it gets really complicated. Perfect for me, you are. You're not a perfect person. I'm not a perfect person, but you're perfect for me. But what I'm trying to say is she could be trying to say something that is a neutral thing, but she has said it in such a damaging way because it's a comparison. Well, for one thing, it's a comparison.
Don't do that. Just do not do that.
Damaging thing. Two, he was saying it in a offhanded, like if we had just had this conversation right now, flip it around and you were like, you are the most beautiful person. I said, you're not the most beautiful person. that's essentially the same vibe that's happened for these guys. Cause he's saying like, well, he was making a joke about him being the best husband ever. He's turned it that way. And then he's like, no, you're the best wife for me. And she's like, but you're not the best husband. So it's just gone so askew, as has my explanation of this.
Look, you tried.
I tried so hard.
But you tried really well.
You just were way too better. Way too better. Way
you better. Kind of sound like Yoda a couple of times there in the way that you explain some things. Perfect for me, you are.
You are. Attractive to me.
You are.
Am I? You are.
I don't know what that one is.
Anyway, all that to say, not done well. Not done well. I think the conversation, whatever it is that's happening for her, there 100% has to be a conversation about that because there's something sitting behind this comment, whether it's that she's really, she just has a lot of things she needs to raise and she doesn't know how to, so she's doing a passive aggressive jab here, or she's absolutely oblivious to what she has implied and she genuinely meant it as just like a, you're not the perfect person because no one's perfect kind of thing, except the fact that she's pointed out her friend's husband, that kind of blows that theory out of the water. 100% needs to be a conversation about what's going on for her. I think it's very valid for him to then be like, that was very hurtful and I need to know what's going on there.
I feel like if you had healthy communication as part of your relationship, I don't think you would say those things. I don't think you would be that blunt. I feel like if you have healthy communication in your relationship, those things that she's wrestling with would be on the table more. Maybe not all of them, because I mean, I think you don't recognize all the things you need to bring up, but I just don't think
a little jab like that wouldn't be, it wouldn't be happening because.
In a serious way though, it sounds like a serious thing, you know, so it's not just a joke.
It sounds like a joke or a lighthearted comment that she's made lighthearted. She's made it into a lighthearted comment, but it's actually a very deep thing.
Yeah, it's like, I'm going to place this here.
So you know.
So in the, but it's kind of like, I'm going to place this here so you can deal with this.
Need some change. We're not going to discuss, especially her dismissing his thoughts the next day. Absolutely.
And that's not healthy as well. And again, it's not that team mentality. It's a, okay, I'm going to place this issue here. You've got a lot of stuff to work on. I don't want to be brought into it. Figure it out. Look at this guy. I've given you enough hints and tips here. Like, you got to take it from there. I don't think that's healthy.
No. So in this case, it might be, it is what you meant and it's also how it was said.
Don't do it.
Moving right along. I, 26 female, accidentally really hurt my boyfriend, 26 male's, feelings. My boyfriend and I have been dating for 2.5 years. We are deeply in love and have a great relationship. It's the most mature and communicative
Mature
and communicative relationship I've ever been in, and I couldn't be happier. I accidentally said something stupid when I was out with him and our friends, though, and I have seriously hurt him. I don't know how to fix it or how to help him understand what I really meant. My friends and I were talking in general about dating, romance, marriage, etc., and one of my friends was telling us that all the women in her family have given her the same advice about love. Don't marry the guy that you're crazy about. The gist of this is that you don't want to marry the guy who you're crazy about, who you think about all the time, who you obsess over. Don't marry that guy, the guy that excites you and leaves you feeling nothing but passion. I vehemently agreed with that advice. I said that I'd been in relationships with that crazy, exciting, sweep you off your feet the instant you meet him guy, and once the excitement and passion wears off, there's nothing much there. I ended up in a very tumultuous and dramatic relationship with not much substance. Catching feelings so intensely also left me very hurt and insecure. Things got sour when my boyfriend and I got home. He asked me, "Don't I excite you?" He then told me that I was that person to him, except that underneath the passion there was substance. He asked me if I was just settling for him because I'd already had my adventures. He said to him this relationship was a crazy adventure. I tried to explain myself again, but it didn't work, and I need advice on what to do. He is hands down the best relationship I've ever been in, and I want to marry him. I've told him both of those things.
Can you summarize that? Mm-hmm. I got stuck on the word that sounds like Vietnam, and I was trying to figure out what it meant.
Vehemently. Yeah. Yep. So basically, he overhears her talking to the girls about dating, and one of the girls says, all the women in my family have given me this advice. They say, do not go for the person that excites you the most, the person that you obsessed over, that like sweeps you off your feet. And she said that she Vietnamly agreed with that. And then when they got home, her boyfriend said that he's really hurt because he said, you are that person to me and we have substance. You are the adventure. And am I just someone you've settled with now because you've already had your adventure?
I see that. I can see that hurt. Mm. I just think there's some things that you don't need to say. Like, why did she have to communicate that with him?
Well, she didn't. He heard her saying it.
Oh, right.
So I think this is actually the best example of all these stories of it's not what you meant, it's how you said it.
Mm.
Because I think what she's saying is really valid in that she's talking about past relationships that were very intense and they left her very hurt. And so obviously in future relationships, she's probably not sought out that kind of intensity.
Mm.
Unfortunately, the words that were used to describe it sound like really good words, like excite me, couldn't stop thinking about them, swept me off my feet. There's lots of passion. And so if you're the partner and you're hearing them say, oh, I would never be with someone like that. And then you realize, but she's with me.
Mm.
You'd be like, so I don't excite you. I don't sweep you off your feet. There's not a lot of passion. What's going on here? If I was her, I can imagine saying something like this and not have at all meant that I didn't think you were exciting and passionate and that I didn't feel those beautiful feelings. But what I would be probably implying is you're not this crazy intense relationship that I've had before that has also been extremely toxic.
Yeah.
And I actually know, you know, of multiple scenarios with people that I've walked with that have been in very intense relationships that are very, very toxic. And the reason that they're probably so intense, which can sometimes look like a positive thing, is usually due to that toxicity.
Hmm.
And so I don't think the words are the same, like intense, passionate, sweep me off my feet. I don't think the toxic version of that, I don't think actually is passion. I think it's actually toxicity. Wow, I can't say that. You know what I'm saying. Toxicity.
Yeah.
Or control, like manipulation, those things that look intense, but they're not.
Yeah, but I feel like, I don't know, in my head, I'm just picturing like these people, they're going off riding a motorbike. You know what I mean? It's just like they're just doing crazy things. Mm. I think there's craziness and safe. And I feel like there's a lot of people, they want safe. And, and that's probably more what she's meaning.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think the way that she describes it It's not that he's not fun, he's boring, all that sort of stuff, but he's more safe. Does that mean responsibility? I don't know. Like, and I think that's probably good for her to draw out is like, well, what is those differences? So what does she genuinely mean between those differences of crazy and safe? I think that's two different things. But you don't want to be the boring safe guy too. No,
to hear that would be confronting.
Absolutely. Because I think through movies too, right, the girl always leaves the safe option for the crazy dude.
No, other way around.
No. No.
No, no, no. The storyline is
she goes
for the crazy guy and then she ends up with the safe guy at the end.
Okay.
There's always a problem and it's the crazy guy.
Oh, yeah. That's okay. Sweet Home Alabama, that would be that scenario that you've just said. I'm thinking of...
Actually, that's the other way around.
No, isn't he the crazy... No, no, because she's with the safe... Yeah, yeah, so I'm right.
Yeah, her ex-husband that she ends up with at the end.
Hear me again.
Bad guy.
Hear me again. So, yeah. So she goes to the crazy guy. The other one with old mate and old love in New York and Ashton Kutcher and Drew Barrymore. No, Cameron Diaz.
Just Married. Oh, no. What's it called?
Just Married.
What Happens in Vegas?
Perfect example. Doesn't she? Is she meant to be with a boring guy?
That's your chick flick, not mine.
Well, I don't really remember. I think I'm butchering it, but they're crazy.
Anyway,
I feel like she was with a boring guy that went back to him.
Let's just both agree to be.
Hollywood says that you should leave the boring dude for the crazy dude.
Depends.
I don't know what else to go with that because I was so wrapped up in trying to win a
date
in
what? How to win a date in 10 days? That's not it. Win a date with Tad Hamilton.
I haven't seen it. You haven't seen it.
Anyway, the reality is no, it wouldn't sound nice to hear that about you and be like, oh, so I'm the boring, safe person. I'm passionate about you, but that doesn't sound that way in that conversation. But the really good thing about this situation is she knows she's hurt him.
Hmm.
She knows how she's hurt him. And so now, even though she's saying she doesn't know how to have that conversation, she knows what she's trying to portray. And she even says in that last line, this is the best relationship I've ever been in.
Hmm.
And so if she can
It the best.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Figure out what it is that's making it the best and communicate that with him and apologize for the hurt and what that implied to him. And the other element of it too is, you know, doing that publicly probably didn't feel great because he's probably like everyone else in their heads putting these dots together too. You're off in your little story because you're telling your story. You're not putting the dots together about how you sound.
Mm.
Everyone else in the room's probably like, that's awkward.
Well, and to me, it kind of sounds like she is raving about him.
Mm.
You know, in a way, she's like, I've had all these crazy relationships. Yeah. But at the end of the day, it sounds like what she's saying is like, but this guy is so much better than those guys. So in a way, she's still raving about him.
She's just got to reword it.
Mm.
This is the perfect example of it. It's not what she meant. It's how she said it.
Mm.
And I think that they absolutely have space to have that conversation in a constructive way. And even get raw about like what her experiences were with those other guys and why that was so toxic so that he understands, oh, you don't want to be these guys.
Yeah,
do not want to be these characters in my story.
Lesson of this story is say it right.
Say it right. First time.
Easy. So easy.
And if you could see how much editing I have to do, you would know.
Just that is say not it us. Right.
We never say it right the first time. I don't even say words right. Anyway, that's... We never say it right the first time.
You put that in there.
Yeah. Anyway, guys, that's the end. That's the end. We do have one extra story for our Patreoners / Spotify fam that have signed up. So if you want to hear another story in this theme, hop on over. Otherwise,
Outro.
Outro. With 2% on the iPad, so let's see how we go.
Let's do it. I just want to state we got a comment on one of our posts and I was holding a pen and paper and someone made the comment, why am I not trusted with the iPad? Looky here.
If you dropped it right now, it would be absolutely perfect.
Who's got the iPad now?
Who's got no iPad anymore?
All right. And thus we conclude another Chronicle at Honey We Need to Chat. Pray hold fast till our paths cross anon, and may your discourses be as bountiful as a feast in the great hall, until we next summon thee to this convivial conclave. Keep thy words kind and thy hearts open.
Bye.
Good chat.